Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Wait.
All right, so now we're starting. Hello and welcome.
Holy heck.
I didn't see that. I had another screen up. Okay. Well, my bad. Welcome back to the ASAP Weekly Rocket League Podcast, the best darn Rocket League podcast to ever exist. That's a fact. You can look it up. It's online. You can find
it. It's guaranteed. Absolutely.
It's guaranteed. 100%. Mm-hmm. Or your money back.
Speaking of money.
I wasn't going to do that, but that's a genius one. now you got me all messed up. Welcome, everybody. It's good to have you back. I'm your boy Cursor and the lovely, Webs. Wonderful Webs.
Hello.
And if you guys heard the pre-show, we're nerding out on some anime. You should give it a listen. And if you haven't, since it's kind of only for our Patreons, Web, would you care to...
Care to do what, Mr. Cursor?
Do the honors and shout out the people who are listening to the pre-show.
Oh my gosh, I'm totally not opening up things right now and doing what the Zero does. Oh wow. Yes, I would love to shout out the patrons. Thank you. Big shout outs to Zodiac22. I don't know how accurate this list is, but I'm using it. Zodiac22. Too much space. Chaos Maker, Space Bear, Frank, Austin Miss, Digital Toast, Paint, Rook. Because yes. I'm going back to old Zero, not the new Zero. That's changed everything in incredible ways.
What a weirdo.
Young Slug and PK. If anybody has been missed, let me know because then I can yell out Zero for you. Or we can do it together. And
In the Discord. Yeah, in the Discord.
Yep. We'll do it together. So thank all of you for subbing to the Patreon. If you want to join that and get access to some spicy anime takes that aren't, can be spicy, have been in the past and weren't necessarily too spicy today, but could be.
Could be. Maybe the beginning of it, but
and other things for pre-shows and RNKs and other access. Feel free to go do that. I think we have a website. It's probably asapweekly.com, but I actually don't know.
There's
also merch there.
I was about to say there may or may not be merch there. I may or may not have brought it up a few episodes ago, and then oddly enough, people were interested in merch. That's kind of I wonder. Weird.
Yeah. So if you want some merch, especially with the upcoming LAN, then you can go to. I'm going to actually double check this for you.
And while Webs is double checking, you may see me, Cursor, there. Hello! And Messi.
Hi, guys. I'm Messi.
They're
perfect
rocking
Messi.
Some...
I didn't know he was here.
Rocking some ASAP merch because we will both be going to the Boston Rocket League LAN major event in July, which I believe is the weekend of the 7th through the 12th. Something like that, or the 10th, excuse me, the 10th.
All right.
And as a native, feel free to come up and hang out and ask any questions you have about the city and whatnot. I lived there for many, 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 many years. I love it. Sometimes I wish I could go back there, and then I remember, for those of you who do live in snowy climates, I really don't like shoveling the snow out of my driveway, throwing my back out. I don't miss that. Nope.
Yeah. So if you want to go and meet up with some people, meet up with some of the ASAP fam, going, that'll be happening at the Boston Major in 2 weeks as of recording, maybe three.
2 weeks-ish. No, more. It's more. It's in July, and we're going into
July
June next,
in 6 weeks as of recording, maybe seven. I looked at my calendar and I was like, oh, that is insanely close. What happened? And I found out what happened. Some of them might be sporting the ASAP merch, so feel free to go there.
Might be 7 weeks.
Yo, my guessing. Let's go. I said 6, maybe 7 the second time.
You did. Did you find the thing you were looking for, Webs?
What thing I was looking for?
I thought you were looking something up.
Oh, yes. It was ASAPweekly.com. No extra things, no spaces. Just very simple. ASAPweekly.com to go and get some merch.
Such or a listen to other domain podcasts
and other stuff.
Yeah, true. Very, very true. We also have the, I think it's still going, the Pokemon crew and the Age of Empires crew, if I remember correctly.
I think you mean the not Zelda crew?
Yes, the not Zelda crew, because I'm sure all of the Nintendo fan peoples over there are totally not playing Tears of the Kingdom right now.
No, not at all. Not at all.
No, they're totally not maybe even calling out of work to do so.
Yes, not at all. But this is the Rocket League podcast, and I think it's time for us to talk about some Rocket League.
That's true. Actually, Webs, you know what's one of the most important skills to have in Rocket League?
A skill that nobody has in Rocket League?
Most people don't really know how to do it, but it's passing.
Yes, it is passing.
Care to elaborate just how good and important passing is in team-based game modes?
That's it. That's all you have to say. We're going to say more because we are a podcast.
That's what we do.
That's all you have to say.
That's true. It's a team game, not a me. Everybody sit back and watch. No. That's not how that's ones. Okay.
That is ones. And like maybe twos if you're playing twos in an annoying way. But that's ones.
Or at a higher level, like GC Plus. And then it's kind of like rotation of my turn. Okay, your turn. And then being in the right. Yeah, stuff.
Okay, but hold up. Even then.
Even then, you can still sort of, sometimes get passing plays off. They're just not as frequent as they are at lower levels, that's for sure.
They're just different types of passing. That's the big thing.
There is.
That's the big thing that people don't know.
Yes.
The thing about passing, and this is my biggest pet peeve and has been from Plat, where I learned that passing was a thing, all the way up until now in 1500 plus, where people still don't know that passing is a thing.
They don't.
They don't. It doesn't. They it don't. Never gets better. So this is for every single person out there. Pass to your team. And when I say a pass, I don't mean, oh man, I lost control of the ball. Let me try and hit this backboard and or into the corner and hope that it goes out mid. No, I mean just like hit it mid. Stop doing stupid things. Stop being like, oh, I've failed my pass or I've failed my solo play. And now second plan and hope that my teammate picks up and then I get mad at them when they're not there. No, just put it mid. Stop doing that. Stop playing by yourself. Put him in. It's a team game.
Also, maybe like, you know, if you see that like your teammate's kind of close, don't send the ball over their head towards the open net behind them.
Yep.
That's kind of a nice one. Also, side tangent, if I may, I've always been a huge proponent of the indirect pass, which I am very good at. And everyone's like, no, you didn't intend for that. I'm like, listen, okay. I have 7,000 hours of Rocket League that would say you're wrong. Because can you play a 50 and control where the ball pinches out? Yes. Can you do it mid-game, even in a ranked game, to a teammate and make it a perfect pass? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Can you also do that in the air? Of course. Mm-hmm. Whether or not you can actually do it is the question. It actually takes practice.
It does take practice, but more than practice, it takes any semblance of awareness to do so.
It does. And that's kind of my strong suit. I've never been a mechie boy. I'm getting there, though. I'm getting there. Mm-hmm. Getting there. I have not been clipping, but I've been... I have been clipping, but not clipping the clips.
Yes.
while at the same token, also absolutely just decimating my ranks in almost every mode. Because
nice.
Whatever. Uh-huh, I'll get it back. I don't care. I've got enough titles under the belt. If I want it, I'll actually hard focus it. Go single brain cell between the ears and just do nothing but Rocket League. But
yeah, you'll get it. You're good.
But yeah, passing is huge. Passing is absolutely huge, and that's probably my favorite form, if not the fake attempt on a rather aggressive shot turned to a pass.
Oh.
Where like,
let's say you're,
you know, Lil Chersmore and you're sitting in mid in threes and you know, you got a third person behind you and I see my teammate maybe up in their corner coming across the backboard, trying to sauce me a pass. and they actually stop to take their time. They don't kill all their momentum. They don't physically stop in place, but they will slow down and take their time to play around the defender and then initiate a pass, which is kind of gigabrain. Like, those are the really, really good ones, you know, because more often than not, if you can hit the ball at a minimum, you'll score that. And woo, go team. On the other hand, you shouldn't get discouraged if the defense steps up and they're like, but I am iron goalie, and they block it. You could be like, damn, nice block.
Good block. Well done.
That shouldn't mean that it should keep you from doing those kinds of passes at all. Mm-hmm. It's what happens as you rank up. The defense gets better, and you got to learn how to play around it. You can't just throw ball no more. But yeah, I agree. So sometimes the play really is just like, oh, I see a teammate. We're kind of close to each other, maybe even parallel, and I can see them in my peripheral, and there's a reason they're there. They're trying to give me an option to pass to. So if I'm going to do it, maybe don't sit there and think about, should I do it, should I not do it? Because by the time you finish that sentence, someone's probably challenged you and took away the ball.
Yep. And now you're both like committed a little bit hard, and depends on, you know, positioning and speed and stuff. And it's like, well, that could just be an open goal because you decided to be like indecision or just be selfish. Mm-hmm. Just hit the ball to your teammate.
Just hit the ball to your teammate.
Just hit the ball to your teammate.
Look at
old Falcons. I don't know if they're still doing this. Look at old Falcons. They didn't care about the net. They never cared about the net.
That's probably why they're not doing so well anymore.
Why they're not doing so well. We're not talking about that later.
Not this show, but
no.
But
just generally.
There's a lot of teams doing this right now. It's kind of wild.
A lot of teams. Yeah. But that's part of what made them so great when they first showed up. They were like, I do not care about hitting the net. I'm only going to hit my teammates every single time. And then we can just pepper the backboard, and eventually they're going to have no boost, and we're just going to have all possession, and they're going to be floundering. And then suddenly it's an open net because you just passed it to your teammates 17 times and didn't care about the net a single time.
I see FaZe, G2, and heck, let's even put in who's another good team that's doing this right now off the top of my head? Gen G, probably been the hottest doing it throughout most of the year. Heck, we could even look at like Carmine Corps. They're extremely good at doing it. And if you watched the recent EU, what was that? The regional?
I think so.
I want to say it was, because it wasn't a major event, right?
Was it the Spring Cup? No, it was the Spring Open.
That's what it was. Thank you. Mm-hmm. They're pretty darn good at it, but so is Vitality. Mm-hmm. Vitality might just take the world by storm like BDS was doing last year. I just forewarning.
We could see that happen. We'll see how things go. There's a lot of things that are happening in the esports side. We'll get to that later. We'll get to that in a second. The reason that I brought up passing, though, let's go back to the beginning. Let's give us a journey. Let's actually like fully discuss this, because there's a lot more about passing other than just like going
so
to like pass. The reason that I brought it up is this on this con video that came out like 3 weeks ago or something, the most recent as of recording, but decent amount of time ago, just saw those videos up. I'm like, hey, let me click on that. I'm on YouTube. I got time to spare. Let me click on Sunless video.
And watch players hit ball.
And watch awesome players hit ball. Sunless is getting very good, by the way. I got to say it.
He is. I think he's passed both of us.
I think he's been DC too. So like I'm almost there. I'm almost at the point where I can be in a Sunless vid. One day.
Maybe.
One day.
All you got to do is run into him in a game and take a photo of it and be like, ha.
One day I'll get there.
You totally didn't just do to a group of famous RLCS casters. No way.
I did do that. I was about to say it. Oh, man. I finally had my big moment against all the green tags, the RLC analysts. It was a fun game. Very, very vibey. Good times.
One of which was a previous pro, too.
Was one of which a previous pro?
Turtle used to... What?
No, I had to look at who was in the game because I forgot.
Oh my goodness. Wasn't it like Achilles, Jorby, and Turtle?
Achilles, Jorby, and Turtle.
Achilles. Why am I saying Achilles? Why am I thinking of Greek mythology right now?
Don't worry
I'm
about
sorry,
it.
I'm sorry, continue.
But yes, one day I'll get that picture with Sunless. One day.
Just come to a LAN, gosh darn it.
Okay, in-game picture with Sunless.
That's not as cool.
Real life things are different. We'll get to those when we have the chance. but He made the video about passing. It was literally just like what we did for the past 10 minutes here. But he gave specific things about what you should be doing and how you should be looking for passes. And that reminded me, I guess, like, because I've always been pretty heavy on passes, very much let my teammates carry the game and I'll vibe and carry from the bottom. one of my favorite me quotes, I'm quoting myself here. If I'm ever at the top of the scoreboard, we probably lost.
Unless you're peaking. I've seen you peak too. Can confirm peaked. Good passer and can confirm has peaked.
I have peaked. The problem with that is that we usually still lose even when I'm peaking.
Feels bad, man.
So I carry from the bottom and that's where I like to be. But with that, what comes along with it is just like hitting the ball to a teammate, letting them do things, right? But after watching this on this video and watching, him doing the different variations of passing, whether you are in the corner, like the opposing corner, and you decide, hey, instead of just going up to the wall and hitting it into the corner, let me actually get a quick catch on this ball, hard cut around, bring it out to mid and my teammates there, which I've done like six times. I've done like six times in the past 2 days.
Hey, wow. Okay.
I've started doing that a lot because I've realized that my corner offense is very bad and nobody expects you to bring it down from the corner. They always expect you to go forward or up, at least where I am. So if you just make a hard cut and put it around the person that's immediately challenging, the next person is almost certainly on the back wall in front or behind them. Mm-hmm. And above them. So you just immediately get it past two by going down around the corner, and then your teammate just has to put it past one on an open net. It's a good time. Very good pass. You should be doing that. It quickly explained exactly why. I think that's probably going to stay the case until like GC3, maybe higher.
I would argue, but continue.
If somebody has good front post defense, they can stop it. But
if they have good backboard defense, they can stop it.
No, I'm saying front post. They can from backboard. That has to be good backboard, though.
Backboard is giga tier. It's the best defensive spot. You can pretty much save everything from backboard.
It absolutely is the best one. But you have to be like ready for the chance to go to the ground from that, which, you know, you can save that like 5 out of 6 times, 9 out of 10 times. But that's still like a very, very threatening thing for a very long time.
It does force two players to react.
Yeah. And hey, like if your teammate gets a 50, you've dribbled and you're facing towards a mid boost. So you're actually in a defensive position.
True.
Which it makes it even better. That's the best part about passing. You go back to defense immediately.
This is assuming that all three people are sitting in net, which really should never happen.
Yeah. That's already assuming like a strong defense with one person challenging, one person waiting for 50, and the next
that's
person
what I'm saying.
In net.
That pass works if everybody's scared in net, like, oh.
Yes. No, I'm not even saying with that. It works if it ends up in the corner, which happens more than often enough.
That's
more
why
than
it's
often.
So important to go as first, man. You just gotta go. You gotta go put a challenge on the ball.
You just gotta put a hand up.
Somebody behind you in net, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
That's you shouldn't be there.
It's a different conversation.
We've had it before. Actually, you and I have actually had the same conversation before.
Yeah, we've talked about this a lot. Put a hand up. That's all we need to say here.
Put a hand up. I'm here. Hello. Present. Accounted for. Oh, my gosh.
Back to passing. So, like, corner, dribble it out down mid. Easy. Free. Off the sidewall. Do whatever you want. Have fun with it. Go sure. for your air dribble. Go and do your thing. Go for your double tap. But you're probably not going to hit it. You could. Hey. And then you're looking cool and you're being awesome. But think about what you should be doing afterwards, where you go for the double tap and then you're like, well, that's like a person and a half in net and the backboard isn't defended, which is cool. But what if I just like hit it back to the backboard again and then make it drop in front of the net and my teammate's there and it goes in? Or you hit it off the backboard and then you hit it down, straight down instead of towards the net off of the backboard, and then your teammate's there and then it goes in the net.
That's fair. I actually, to add to that, one of my personal favorites is, now that I'm becoming somewhat mechanically competent, is to fake the mechanic and turn it into a pass.
Yeah, so that too.
Just I'll do miss. The wall. Not a miss. I'll do a wall to air dribble, use my flip, send it to the backboard, and instead send myself to the ground and look for a demo.
Yep.
Because I know I can stay with it a decent amount, but I'm really saving a lot of boost coming off the wall. It doesn't take much to start a good wall to air dribble. Mm-hmm. And you can actually just utilize most of the momentum from climbing up the wall in the first place and carry it with the ball with very light feathering. You could pretty much stay on top of the ball and find the sip of glue. But you just, if you fake a mechanic and then look to remove a
player.
Goaltender, a keeper or a goaltender,
you've probably beaten two.
You're kind of doing two things in one. If we're talking threes after a pass, ideally you want to rotate wide through their defensive line to cause commotion and chaos. And potentially, if your whole team isn't committed up, even grab the opposite corner boost from which you started to help drain their boost as well for their counterattack. There's so many variants of this you can do. The double tap fake, what's becoming more popular, especially, I know you've seen it too, up in GC, is like where we are, we'll see people fake a flip reset so hard and they'll play it to a teammate. And it's beautiful. It's so much fun when you have somebody who is mechanically inclined enough to stay controlled, do the thing, and then be selfless. It's such a beautiful sight to see.
Yep.
And it leads to many goals.
It leads to so many goals. And the most tilting thing, I'll be honest, the one, like one of the very few things that actually gets me like slightly tilted in this game is just being like, oh, that was an incredible pass. Well done, teammate. So you're actually goated. Like that was perfect. And it's right at me. And there's no way that I missed this shot. This past like three defenders, it's open. And then they just hit it two more times. Because they can't get off the ball.
Yeah.
And it goes wide. And now you're just in their corner being like, why am I here?
Why did I even log in today? You know, like what was the, you know what? I'm just going to go play once.
It's so sad that one gets me every time because I just look at it. I'm like, you did such a good job. And then you made it you not it. Good.
In the infamous words of SpongeBob, soiled it.
Soiled it.
So bad. So bad.
That one hurts a lot. Final thing with passing is passing on defense. Don't just hit the ball away. We've said this a lot. I don't think we really have to go over it more.
Oh my God,
don't
just hit the ball away.
Sometimes you have to hit the ball away.
Sometimes you do.
To get a boost or to make it like you've been on defense for a while, you get a good clear, you're like, hey, I need to boom it. You just have to.
Or buy team for your teammates because maybe you know everyone's low boost. Maybe the other team's boost starving. Maybe they have mid boost control. Clear it well over their heads. Give your time team to recover and reposition.
Get some boost, pick it up.
Totally viable.
Yeah. But... Well, if you're just hitting the ball away to the opponents, you're not doing that. You're doing the opposite of that.
Yeah, you're starting the cycle all over again.
You're wasting your own boost, which drains your team, giving the possession right back to them. They're taking more boost.
Now you're committed.
You're probably not going to be able to get a defensive spot. There's no boost for you, so you're zero on the wall, probably fumbling, landing badly. And hey, what happened? You just gave the ball to them and opened the net up.
Yep.
Be aware of where your team is on defense. Panic saves. We get it. It's a panic save. You gotta do it. It happens. But sometimes the best thing is just like one, leave the ball if it's like a little bit slow or your teammate's behind has the option. That's always a good one. Just leave it, passing it by not even touching it. Good time. Mm-hmm. Good times. Another option, just like vibe, hit the ball right to them, nice and slow, ground roller, they clang it right towards net. And if the opponents are a little bit overcommitted because they're thinking, oh, this person that's hitting it the first time is just going to hit the ball hard towards the sidewall, and then the one person that's a spider on the wall is just going to catch it, and I'm going to challenge them in case they flub that and get a free dunk goal. And then two people are hard committed and your teammates just there waiting for the roller, banging it hard on net. And the third guy's like rotating back, being like, I can't reach that. I got to GC the first time by just hitting the ball hard towards net.
That was a different day, Webs. I don't understand now. Champ is actually hard now.
Champ is hard now. You can get the champ now by just hitting the ball hard towards net.
You could.
off of defense or off of like your teammate mm-hmm. hitting like quick pass to you, one out. Happens yep. all the time. Happens yep. all the time. I don't know.
Yep.
Passing.
Some of my other ones, they're not nearly as like high up in my list for personal favorites, but they are extremely effective, is the bounce pass. Bounce pass is like the tried and true, one of the most fundamental like passing team skills you can have. Mm-hmm. You can throw it off a sidewall to teammates behind you. And if you're both coming down the field, you know they have one, momentum, two, more than likely they have boost. Mm-hmm. And three, if you throw the ball away and they're second man, they're going to be immediate to challenge that ball. So it's ideal to remove yourself from the play and create an angle at which that they're going to have a good aerial approach or a good ground approach to what you were saying earlier. Maybe you send it low instead. Mm-hmm. You can also transition this to bouncing it out of your corners and your opposing team's corners, which is also very, very effective. Mm-hmm. It can get shut down by a really competent first or second man on the other side, but still works to this day, even up in GC. Like yep. it follows, man. It keeps going. Mm-hmm. I love giving these passes to people, especially if, you know, maybe I was last one to rotate in, third's just getting back, second just made their move, and I know I don't really have anyone to pass to, but I have a lot of momentum, and maybe I don't really see an opening to try and put a threat on net. So what I can do is then I can actually boom it off of maybe mid-level corner, like mid, like if you're looking at the wall, like any wall in the pitch, like midway up the wall. And when you bounce it at the corner, it comes back at a diagonal where? Right into the midfield for your expecting teammate. Now, if you don't, to what you were saying earlier, understand where your teammates are positioned defensively, this can be extremely detrimental because yep. now you've removed yourself from the play, given them position, and it's 3v2 or 2v1, and that's mm-hmm. horrible. However, with good awareness and good practice, and you see your teammates and you understand what's going on, this is a massive play because now you're forcing defenders to leave their net because more than likely your teammate is going to go for this juicy low-hanging fruit and wants to put a threat on net. And if you got a really, really mechy player, they might just go for a double tap.
Yep.
Which is... Yeah, and it's free.
Yep. That's free real estate right there.
That's just free real estate right there. It's good practice. And really, the best way to hit that ball, and I know a lot of you guys, you know, still struggle with this, you know, even up into champ, is stop flipping into the ball. Mm-hmm. Just drive into the ball.
Yep.
Because then you can still generate the same amount of power without removing yourself from the play and having to wait for your car to recover naturally from the flip. another good one, too, that you may want to experiment on for all you out there thinking you need a speed flip to hit GC. You don't.
No.
I still can't speed flip for garbage, and I don't think I've ever seen Webs do a speed flip.
What? I always speed flip.
I don't think you do. I think you do a fast kickoff, but I don't think you speed flip. There's a difference.
I'm mostly speed flip.
Mm.
Based on the musty test, yes. The thing, whatever the thing is, I mess it up a lot. I will admit that. But I do it fairly often.
To that end, right, is you can actually flip towards the ball and time it so that when you land, you're hitting the ball. And with the momentum you've generated from your flip to reach the ball, you will hit the ball with the same amount of power and get there just a bit quicker if you time it correctly. That's kind of one way to gap close and also get the pass out at the same time. It's a little more mm-hmm. advanced, but again, bounce passing is still king. You could throw it off the ceiling. Heck, probably the hardest one to defend to this day, unless they have a wall crawler on backboard, is the top corner above their goal. That is one of the greatest passes mm-hmm. you can give your teammates. It is forcing yep. everybody to freak out like, oh God, it's falling right in front of my net. What do I do?
Yep.
And a good defender will take care of it. Generally speaking, two people on that team are going to freak out and be like, oh, and go at the same time. So, especially when they're all clumped up in net.
Oh, yeah. Especially if nobody's on backboard. Oh, my God.
And if that person's solo and not already jumping up for the ball before it even comes down towards the crossbar, it's probably going to be free.
Open. Free
it's
going to
be open. Yeah. If one of your teammates goes or you go, seeing that pass is there and you're going to meet the ball as it falls below the crossbar as opposed to waiting for it to fall below the crossbar, it's pretty much a guaranteed goal. Mm-hmm. They're just, again.
There's passing. So many ways to pass. So passing, many ways. Just passing. Do it.
Half volleys. Oh, fake God. It. Flick it up.
Yep. Ugh. Those final thing fun. I'll say on passing at this point, because I think that we've drilled it into the listeners' minds to just
pass the ball. Just pass the rock.
Final thing I'll say is that even if you are a greedy little gremlin and you want that ball and you want to put the ball in the net yourself, there's such a thing as a 1-2-1. You just pass the ball to the person and they pass it back to you.
Yeah.
And that'll beat like 99% of defenses up until like very high. I don't know where. It'll beat everything. Going back to the old combo days where that he was such a big proponent of that one from his hockey days. Go in, even if you want to hit the ball yourself, sometimes it's better to hit it to them so they can hit it to you.
True.
Can do it.
Very true.
And that's the best way.
Also, you'll feel like the most poggiest champ to ever pog champ the internet.
It's so much cooler than any solo mech. I don't care about solo mechs.
Solo mechs are great, but we're saturated with them now. Team mechs are where it's at.
So much cooler.
Yep. Team mechs have always been better. Change my mind.
Yep. You can't. There's no way.
Forget your quintuple helicopter, pancake, backboard, flip reset, score, whatever. Nah. Team play.
I slow rolled it to my teammate and they played a top corner.
That's a W. It's an easy W. That's a common WAPS W. Yep.
All right. That's it on passing. It's time for Esports Corner. Unless you want to give a jingle, there's no jingles today because Lazero's not here.
Yeah, that's what I got. I could do something. I could do like a beatbox or something, but I'm not going to cringe on Lazero's corner. That is his thing.
Okay, that's Lazero's.
I may have been one of the driving forces. It was like, whatever happened to Grassroots Lazero writing all his own stuff for the show? I missed that. It was so awesome back when I was just a weebling little fan. Still love it to this day. It was awesome. And then I got to be a part of an episode where he brought it back for the first time in like a year, maybe 2 years. It's so cool. I was fanboying in my chair, even though I'm literally on the show with him. It's kind of weird. Don't tell him I said that.
He won't. Don't worry. We won't. We'll keep it a secret just between you.
He'll never listen. It's okay.
Yeah. It's true. We can say anything we want.
But a little bit of bringing back the corners, you know, because we're square out here. We are a complete shape.
We're a complete shape. We don't know if we're a square. I think we have more corners than square.
Interesting. Yeah. Octahedral, maybe?
We'll find out one day when we run out of corners. Speaking of running out of corners and bad segues, North America.
Let me go for a second. I thought you were talking about the episode of There's a Line.
No, that's episode one, I think.
That's episode one.
That's episode one.
Oh, man. Esports. It's kind of wild right now, though.
It is insanely wild.
It's first like, off, Wild West all over again. What did we see this 2 seasons ago? And we were like, whoa, and NRG was top dog and everyone was vying for like top six. Now it's like there's a pretty solid like top six, almost top eight. They're pretty consistent. It's wild.
It is.
I'm thinking you have a lot you want to say about this, because I could gush on for a while. But
so the thing with NA right now, I'm just gonna spoil what happened last week.
Spoiler alert.
We're gonna get there anyway. I'm gonna start off with the big statement. I don't think ever in the history of RLCS and probably history of most sports, just generally esports included, has there been a complete inversion of the top and the bottom two teams. Or not necessarily bottom two, but Complexity and Gen G were 1 and 2 grand finals in the last in the spring. Which one? I forget the name of it. The Spring Open.
Yep.
And those were the number 1 and 2. But in the same day, there was this big upset, or 2 days earlier, there was this big upset of FaZe losing in the upper bracket round two, and then losing again in upper bracket round, lower bracket round one. So FaZe went out day one. Same thing happened to version one. We weren't super high hopes for version one at the time, but we were like, you know what? This is still a team. We expect them to do well. It's, you know, it's beast mode, Daniel and Calm. Like, how can that really go wrong unless it goes very wrong and they don't figure out how to play with each other, but they end up, you know, going out in day one, same time as FaZe, less of an upset.
Yep.
This week, this past week,
this past weekend,
Version 1 and FaZe Clan are 1 and 2. They're, yeah, they're positions 1 and 2. Like, just take it a sweep, like, easy. Easy 1-2. Mm-hmm. Gen G wins the first round, because the first round, whatever. Loses second round in uppers, and then loses first round lowers.
Yeah.
And guess what happened to Complexity? They did the exact same thing.
So let's slow this down a bit, right? There was a lot of interesting things that happened on the previous event that kind of got people thinking, like, okay, then, you know, lots of teams pushing up further into the top six. And you were like, wow, never saw that happening.
I did, though. I believed in OpTic forever.
And I've been waiting for them to show up.
Honestly, the matchup that I wanted to happen when they first became a roster finally happened. The G2 OpTic matchup, and OpTic won. Still am a G2 fan as well. Love G2, but I was so happy to see OpTic beat the other team that I'm so just infatuated with. Mm-hmm. The other thing that really threw me for a loop was, I think NRG's mental's really back, because they did almost the same thing in the last event that they did in this event, where, I mean, they got beat by a really hot, really well put together Space Station. They are finding their groove right now, Space Station, and it looks amazing.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought they were going to tank with the loss of Daniel. That was not the case. It was just the
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Chemistry was not there with Daniel. A lot of people thought it was Arsenal. It's not the case. It was actually Daniel over there. That's
okay. Don't blame Daniel.
Slow down. No. Cannot confirm or deny. No, it's not
blame
about
mental
blaming
that team. Mental overall was chalk.
There's a lot of proof in the pudding. A lot of stuff that's been coming to light. There was a bit of an ego there as a wonder child coming into the scene, as some other players have who are barely making it back. And I think their most recent video was "I'm back, scrub killer." So
we'll see.
Let's break this down, right? NRG loses to a hot Space Station, goes to the lower bracket, and almost makes the Cloud9 run.
They did. They did almost make the Cloud9 run.
They beat Heybro. They beat Complexity, who, by the way, won the last event very handily. Beat G2, beat Furia, and then stopped the FaZe Clan, which is understandable because FaZe and NRG have been trading for a little while. If anything, last year they were trading a lot harder, and NRG was kind of more coming out on top. But with the new roster, FaZe has, you know, put together for this season, it's kind of hard to stop them.
It's not an easy win. Like,
yeah,
beating FaZe is something to say.
Exactly. And I think you and I and Lazero have talked at great lengths about this. There are just a few teams that are generally up there in that top six, almost top eight area, that they may fall a bit back, but with, you know, a player change in the roster or, you know, a shift in the mental, any one of those teams can take games and series off each other any day of the week. If I can, to quote former coach Sizz, it's a game that's played on the day. It is always a game that is played on the day. And just, you know, this day, FaZe was looking hotter than NRG. That's all it was. And really, I'm just impressed by some of the teams that have made it as far as they have. Because Furia was sinking for a bit. They made it to lower bracket quarters, lost 4-2 to NRG. OpTic, I really thought was going to drive through, especially after beating M80 and G2. I thought they had a bit of heat under them. But, you know, then they get paired up against Version 1, who put the hurt on Shopify, who's also been looking really good and well informed. Put the hurt on the previous champions, Complexity, from last event.
Yep.
And then they put the hurt on OpTic before they go on to put the hurt on Space Station before FaZe in the grand finals. Like, that's a run, man.
V1 with all the run.
Yeah, without, you know, all the naysaying aside about all the stuff centered around Daniel and Space Station and what's happened with those three, this team looks hot, man. This team looks really, really hot. And the Version 1 Space Station game was actually, like, it's kind of nutty.
Yes. Let me go back a bit though. I want to come back to energy.
Okay.
As you know, a very vocal naysayer of energy for a very long time, ever since I don't even know how long. You guys can go back and say like I have in the past said that energy is going to go out day one, like without winning a match, and I think I was right. but this. So I'll say I didn't watch day one and two of this, which is my fault. I should have. Watching day three, the fact that NRG was in the lower bracket semis astounds me.
Yeah.
They looked awful. Like I mentioned in the Discord while I was watching, a couple of people were talking. My comment was just that last game was sad. Like that was disappointing. It was they didn't even necessarily fall apart. Game four existed. They played. I think they still lost, but they played. but it was bad. It just didn't look good. And that's kind of what I expect from NRG at this point. Like they need so much to change. And the fact that they were in lower bracket semis, either they were playing very well the previous 2 days and then fell apart on Sunday, or like I don't know what happened to the other teams like Furia, G2, and Complexity.
To be fair, as a rah-rah-rah G2 guy, I think their mental's kind of been chalked since, I don't know, they choked a world final?
No, it has. They show up sometimes, they absolutely flounder other times.
What scares me is this is a team where when they show up, that level of G2 is definitely, I would say, on par with, you know, the bandwagon people who are like, oh, this new hot team. Oh, this new hot team. Oh, they're so hot right now. I'm like, yeah, but G2's always been here, though. If we could just lock down that mental.
Absolutely.
If we could just lock that in place, you know, like that, that's it. Bets are off. We're going in. They would win. They would win so much more. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know. I think after taking that loss to Optic and then beating Dig, it's like, I feel like they lost steam maybe like going up against NRG, which, by the way, this has been mentioned on the Twitterverse as well. That's an El Clasico right there.
It is a classic. Absolutely.
That is quite possibly the longest standing org-on-org, almost exactly the same rosters rivalry in Rocket League history. I believe the game or the series tally now is like 61 series against each other over the years.
God.
That is a lot.
Wow.
That is a lot of games. And that's
with the same rosters minus, are we including Atomic in that?
I mean, really?
I think the third has been swapping, kind of, for G2. Not a lot, like twice.
But like the two-thirds rule to keep your slot, you got to have at least two thirds of the roster, right? And it's pretty much been that way.
No, it absolutely has been. Yeah.
Heck, even when NRG was when it was Garrett, Fireburner, and Justin, and it was Rizzo, JNaps, and Kago.
Yeah.
The rivalry was still there.
It was still there, and it was still the same rivalry.
Yeah, and that's, what is that? That's season. Yeah, that may have been Squishy's World Champion year. No, that was that was six.
It was a six. Okay,
I believe so. Feel free to, you know, fact check me and double tell me that, I'm horrible in the Discord. We can refer to our resident statistician Ty Swaglies or Mesito Messi, who are very adamant about Rocket League stats in that manner, and they could definitely be like, "No, cursor, put the dunce hat on me, bring me to the blackboard, and be like, this is what happened." So, by all means, but it still amazes me that no matter how each team is looking, it's always a fantastic series when they're against each other.
Yeah,
it's like if you're a fan of Call of Duty and Optic runs into FaZe. You know, it's always a hard-fought battle. Always, 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 always. You know, sometimes there's a sweep. Sometimes it's dubs. But it's always the matchup you want to see. It's the matchup, if you were paying for tickets to watch this, you would pay to see.
Yeah.
But in this case, man, I really thought Gen G was going to surprise me and come back, because they're the ones who kind of set the precedence for the season in NA this year. Yep. It was a bit of a slow start, and then they just showed dominance for months. I was kind of expecting them to kind of bounce back by this point, but I think being this far into the season, and we're going into the spring major now, oddly enough.
For Gen G?
Boston. No. So we're going into the spring major in Boston.
Mm-hmm. No, but are you talking about Gen G here?
Yeah. That I thought, like, you know, maybe by this time into the season, they would have come back. But given this time in the season, with some of the roster changes, there's just some pretty clear natural chemistry and some clear teams that have been grinding and working on things. And this is where it's going to show. As a long time Rocket League fan, I can always tell you some of the most hype matches you will ever watch in an RLCS circuit each year is going to be like the last third of the year. Trade windows are done. Everybody's locked in, and they're grinding for placement to get into the World Cup now.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Which, I mean, there used to be two a year, but it's neither here nor there. Yeah. It's wild to me, man. I don't know who to bet on anymore, aside from almost seeming like a bandwagon person. All these teams have come to fruition, and some teams that were being, you know, made and booed are actually just kind of bucking the trend and sticking to their guns and showing everybody up. Whereas teams that maybe start off really, really hot aren't doing so great anymore. You know, it's almost as if the other teams studied them, their secrets were found out, and now they're not the top team anymore. Like they found out something early, and then everybody else found it out in the long game, and they're benefiting from it more, if that makes sense.
Talking about Gen G like that, I don't know if it's fair. Gen G's had...
I'm not taking them down. Not at
but
all.
Like, it's just... So in the past, three times, they got, not including this most recent where, you know, they went out losers round two, which happened to FaZe as well. And FaZe is one of those ones that we're probably still like considering top. Gen G went second, lost to FaZe, I think, in the, what is it? The big, not regional, world, not worlds. What are they called?
Major. Oh, okay.
Yep. the major. And then I think had like, what was it? Like a third or a fourth or a sixth or something. The time after, I might have that wrong.
Since, well, prior to April, they hadn't had a first place finish since February. They took second at the NA Regional 2 Cup. Mm-hmm. They took fifth through eighth in the NA Regional 3 Winter Invitational. They took fifth through eighth in the Winter Split Major. And then they copped first in some B tier tourney called the draw. And more recently in the Open earlier this month here in May, they took second. So, it's hard to say. It's like they were really, really strong for the first chunk of the year. Second, first, second. And then kind of a hiccup, like they hit a speed bump and got a flat. And then came back and won a much smaller tourney. And then kind of started coming back for the spring open, but this showing is like kind of showing an inconsistency again.
Okay, you might say that just because of the number, but if you actually go back and look, they lost to FaZe.
In what?
They lost to FaZe.
In the most recent? No, they didn't. They lost to Complexity.
Okay, no. So they lost to Complexity in the most, like the one before that, but they lost to FaZe the one before that in the major. They lost to FaZe in the one before that in the winter finals, like the last Winter Cup.
The Winter Invitational.
Yes, that's the one. Right. And then, like, so they lose to FaZe and they lose to Complexity, who was absolutely goated on the day.
This is a team they were absolutely annihilating when they were in form early in the season. That's
FaZe?
My point. Yes. They 4-0'd FaZe in the NA Regional 3 Fall Invitational. They swept FaZe.
No, they did. They had definitely beaten, like, they, you know, but FaZe has also had that like it's been that rivalry for throughout the year of FaZe.
Yes, it's been they were the two that started off the season strong. I'm not downplaying them though. I think you're thinking about this the wrong way. You're misinterpreting me. I'm not being harsh to them. I was just saying I was expecting them to kind of bounce back to first by now, considering how strong of a team they are. I'm behind them 100%. I just don't. I'm confused by what has happened here in the North America Regional 2 Spring Cup.
So
granted, a lot of that's why I was saying to that end, a lot of teams have stepped up and improved, and there were some roster changes and there's some new chemistry we've never seen before.
But I'm saying this is Spring Cup. Like if you go back to the Spring Open, the one right before it, FaZe was then in this exact same place that Gen G is, like the exact same place.
Yeah.
Right, and I don't know, we didn't have this conversation about FaZe.
I have definitely had this conversation about FaZe.
Have you had this conversation about FaZe? Because you've been proven wrong. FaZe got second in this one. Like
how am I proven wrong? I've had this conversation about FaZe, and they haven't placed first a whole bunch of times.
But looking at like just first, when I don't think there's been the same first through any of those last. FaZe has been
a bit more consistent this year and has taken, I want to say, almost the same amount, if not one or two more firsts than Gen G. But I've had the same conversation I had the same conversation when they lost to K-Core in the Winter Split Major.
Why are you even having that conversation when they lose to K-Core?
Because at the end of the year, it's going to matter.
If you're talking about like going into the finals, sure, like the RLCS finals, like the big thing, then sure, we can talk about that type of stuff. Like the big who likely can actually win this, what's our expectations. But, you know, FaZe is still number one-ish. Like 1-2 in NA. Gen G still 1-2 in NA. Right. V1 might have a chance, but we'll see if there's any consistency with this because, you know, the last one wasn't. This one, they definitely showed up. Complexity, maybe again. Who knows? Like those other ones, sure. I'll give you like 3-8 even. You have a conversation about where they fit. But 1-2 for NA, I think it's still FaZe Gen G.
So let's
saying otherwise up. Is just bizarre to me. I'm not even gonna lie.
For the split, they're not 1-2.
Sure. Wait, where? So again, the reason that is there is because Gen G went out lower bracket round two, and FaZe went out lower bracket round two. That's it. I'm guessing Optic is actually like incredibly high, right? Optic's gonna be high. Space Station would be insanely high for the split. Furia might be surprisingly high as well.
I think Furia just squeaked into sixth. There is tied for fifth with G2. It's one of those two things. I was just doing this with Messi like last week. But overall, FaZe has got more points. Hence what I was saying, their consistency is good, but the wins out of Gen G has kept them above FaZe Clan for overall point value in total, not over across the splits, not just one split. That's why I'm saying I would kind of expect them to bounce back. Yes, they have kind of been rivals. I don't know where this argument's coming from, but at the end of the day, teams are looking better, and it kind of makes sense with, on paper, who's on this V1 team, why they absolutely clapped this event.
Okay, we can move on to V1, because I do want to talk about V1. V1, I don't know if they're going to stay the same, but... when I was watching the Sunday things for sure, what I saw from V1 is exactly what NRG should do. They just did what, like that classic NRG play style, but did it right and did it incredibly well. Which maybe? I know might be surprising to hear. Because like, how are you really going to be saying that? But what I saw was Beast Mode doing Justin things and just taking it out, doing everything solo and like just destroying the other team by peeing Beast Mode. Daniel actually took a squishy role, which is insane to say. But I think that might have been like the biggest difference, where he played that defense, played sometimes take it out of your corner, but really just a hyper defensive, finish the play if it has to be done, but take something that's like, no, I'm just going to sit farther back, be ready for any back passes, any delayed midfield things that has to be done, but I'm giving it up to beast mode like 99% of the time. And then Colm did kind of similar to what Garrett did, but just more aggressive. You did it on the front end instead of the back end, where he was demoing and not like playing a two-man role, but just demoing.
Colm was actually playing the two-man role. And that's where this team is vibing right now. Colm is actually playing the second man role.
It always vibes around Colm.
Sort of. I think to your point, Colm is taking that second man role and kind of filling the squishy spot where he normally tends to sit as a second, because Justin's pretty much a dedicated third man on NRG because of his mechanical consistency, his ability to drive through players on solo. There's a reason why he's usually last up, that he's guarding the back end, right? And Garrett G usually pushes the forefront and tries to hook up that pass to squishy. But now that he's far more mechanical over the last couple of seasons, you can't really count any of them out. It's just their overall performance as a whole is less than that of the average right now of other top tier teams, right? There are other teams who have evolved past that. And back then, comparatively speaking, I wouldn't even call it classic. It was just NRG or beating teams that aren't even flipping close to how good they were, because that's just how good those players were for so long. And they've openly admitted in interviews, we really didn't have to do much. We were just better than everybody. Now what's kind of stopping them this year, aside from mental, which is a big thing, is that everybody's gotten so darn good at the game.
Everyone else is better. Yeah.
Everyone else is better now. So how do you teach previous world champions who were the best at the game, they're no longer the best, and how do you keep going? I think that's where I really feel for this team, where it's like, I want to say it was a week or two ago, after their first showing, not the one that happened this weekend, I want to say it was the cup, they made a serious run and people were like, oh my god, NRG's back. And in an interview, Garrett was like, so the mental's back. And immediately everyone's taken to it on the Twitterverse and on Rocket League forums and stuff, being like, holy crap, the mental is back, like they're here now. To your point, how do they solidify this? How do we start seeing consistency out of this? I don't know. Like, I was a naysayer for many months this season. Like, maybe there needs to be a change. Maybe we just go for a change. But if they've truly found their mental back, that was my only argument from the start. Like, if you can't get that back, it's time for a change. You know what I mean? How do you bounce back from being, you know, a world championship winning team to, oh my gosh, you're kind of low down there in the standings. But where they go from here, who knows? You know, we just got to see how the rest of the season plays out. I think version one might be in a similar position. I think they're starting to see a bit of honeymooning right now with a very, very new roster where they didn't have a great go at first. A lot of new teams don't. I mean, heck, let's look at when Atomic first came to G2, right? Or
yeah, even Gen.G, you know, at the beginning.
Right, exactly. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of really good backstory behind these teams too. Like with Gen.G, you have two players who literally moved halfway across the world to pursue their dream job that could be a complete flop. And now they're in another country with not a whole lot of money. And you're like, what do I do here? There's, I think, a lot of narrative with these top teams right now going on, which makes these games that much more enjoyable, in addition to the fact that the overall floor and ceiling, as you and I both well know, increases almost every season consistently, with the exception of pre-COVID and then, you know, the 20 to 21 season where it kind of stayed sort of the same.
People weren't playing enough.
Yeah, you know what? Which is, if anything, they were overplaying, right?
Yeah, that's
because everyone's stuck home, you know? I think, like, maybe that's why it kind of stayed the same. Like, maybe they peaked and then they went back down because they were playing too much. I don't know. But what's clear is all the grinders throughout that time have been putting in the work, and now they've reached a level where here, seasons later, it's kind of showing.
Yeah.
Probably the one that really, really, really stands out to me right now, though, aside from all these hot teams, is it's kind of a toss-up between Complexity and the new Space Station roster, though.
I was going to say the Space Station for sure.
I love seeing it work out for them and them getting consistent high placement. I think this is a team that grinds and deserves it. And now there's a little more space on the field for Arsenal to do Arsenal things. He's actually fairly mechanical, and he's a really great offensive player, and I love seeing him have space to do what he's great at. It makes the game more enjoyable to watch.
And it's so nice to see him have a teammate that's just like Hoxer. That's it, just a Hoxer.
Hoxer is the GOAT, man. You look back to even when like Roldis played when he wasn't a caster. What team was he on? EU. Who'd he play with? Hoxer. Like, dude, like Hoxer's a GOAT, and Hoxer has been around for quite a few seasons now. I love seeing that team thrive, man. It's a team of GOATs. It really is a team of GOATs. LJ is relatively new to my eyes anyways over the last few years, but it's not unwarranted. I mean, he's earned his spot. If I'm not mistaken, I think he's like the top twos player right now and has been for some time. They're kind of putting him up there right now with Monkey Moon, who is the, quote, god of twos. But I don't know, man. A team like that could go really, really far if they really lock in and dig their heels in for the World Cup.
I'm excited to see what Space Station manages to do with this lineup.
Seriously. I think it's gonna be good. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the story, moving to another country, but I love seeing Complexity come out on top.
Oh, for sure. Same.
In the previous event, it was a long time coming. We saw such a strong performance out of them last season. And a lot of people were like, oh, you can't do it for you, dude. And it's like, you know, I feel like that was just haters going to hate. That was the fuel they needed. They needed to see that people were being like clowns so they could clown on them, you know? Because I don't see a lot of teams step into Complexity right now consistently. Complexity, like the bull is back, baby. Watch out for the horns. He's going to gore you. I'm just saying.
I want to see what they do next. Honestly, I want to see what the whole of NA does next regional, like in that last one going up. Because I need some form of even like, I want to see if there's any form of consistency, like which of the four teams can actually manage to get a second top four.
You need that closure. You need to know.
But I want to know if it was like a one-off, because I don't think it was a one-off with Complexity, because, you know, like right before it, there's a reason that I said I don't want to be surprised by Complexity anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be surprised by them seeing their current the ranking in this one. I was surprised in the wrong direction. I want to see a regional that pans out in a way that you might expect more, that don't have these massive upsets or teams just like kind of flubbing or whatever might have happened for any of the teams on any of the things.
True.
I will say I'm happy that it happened in these regionals though, instead of like the final one and
the worlds as
we get there, or the major and all that stuff. Get out those jitters. Get out the jitters and the less important ones, even though all of these do matter a lot.
Yeah, they do. I mean, majors are big. I mean, heck, the cups and the invitationals are big too. I mean, that's good points for your seeding overall for the end of the year.
Yeah.
But I mean, if we look at it right now, back to exactly what we were saying, it's really been the Gen G phase show for almost half this season, with Gen G at a staggering 162 points. Now, this might have changed as of this past weekend. I don't know just how up to date this is.
If it's Liquipedia, it's up to date.
That's what I trust. That's what I trust. So, but FaZe Clan at 159, right behind them on their heels, nipping at them. Almost tied for first. And then in third and fourth, we have Complexity at 114 and G2 at 110, almost tied for second. They are really, really close. But with this recent win, all of a sudden now, Virgin 1 has shot up. And they are in fifth, just barely over Space Station at 92, Space Station being at 89. So it really is that contention with these top six teams, but the gaps are there. There's a gap between fifth, sixth, fourth, third, and there's a big, big, big gap
between
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and six. It's pretty clear that as far as consistency goes, that's where I was coming from with this. They should be beating teams like Space Station, V1, G2, Complexity, just if we're talking stats and looking at sheets here. They should be. But that just wasn't the turnout this time around. It's kind of odd.
Well, that's why I'm waiting for the next one for sure to see what ends up happening.
And really, They, if I'm not mistaken, because Furia and NRG are tied for 8th now at 58th, and Optic at 65, little kind of sort of behind Space Station, they, those three teams still have a real chance to make it in contention for Worlds.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's a lot of a battle going into this final this final event, and then we'll see how much of a battle there is going into the major as well.
But you want to know something crazy? Mm-hmm. Not a single team has actually clinched a spot yet.
In the major or in the finals?
In Worlds.
Really?
Yeah, we're going into the spring major, and nobody has clinched a spot yet.
Oh my god.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
We have a small number of teams that have guaranteed wild card.
yeah, but nobody has a guaranteed spot. Like, yeah, we're gonna be there. We'll see y'all there. Okay. With all these crazy matchups that have been going on, nobody has still guaranteed their spot yet. If anything, the team that is closest, which just kind of makes sense,
Karmine Core or Gen G?
Karmine Core. They got 7 points over Gen G, with Gen G at 162 for their region and first. Yep. Karmine Core first in their region by a long shot with 169.
Yeah.
So they're just a bit ahead, but they're that much closer to securing a spot. I mean, right now, I don't know. Vitality might come up from behind and sneak all them points before Worlds gets right. Vitality looking crazy, but we're talking NA here. We're talking NA. NA is looking like the dominant region this season, with the exception of a very, very small number of teams out of EU looking like it could topple the whole Jenga tower in NA.
So, yeah, I don't know if I would say that either of them are dominant right now. I don't know if I would agree with that point.
It's fine.
I think there's contention, and we'll see in the major.
Hey, man, there's proofs in the stats. That's all I'm saying. There is a pattern there.
The proof is in the Zen.
Coming from somebody who was a Karmine Core fanboy.
Hey, Karmine Core has already proved that they're better. I'm talking about the other teams that aren't just Jengas, like the actual Jenga pieces that are falling around.
Yeah, that's true. BDS who? What happened?
We don't talk about that. Okay, Spring Regional 1 and 2 don't count. We've learned that from NA.
But I don't know. I think at the end of the day, it'll be a tough matchup. It'll be a real tough matchup. But enough generalizing and theorizing. I mean, if you didn't see the event, go back, check out the VODs. It was absolutely fantastic. But you know, unless you have anything else you want to add, Webs, that's all I really have for the Sports Corner right now. I'm just eager to get to Boston in July, meet and see whoever's going from the community, and just see these games play out, because it's going to tell us a lot going into Worlds. We're only seven weeks away.
I'm so excited. Oh my god, I can't believe it's that close. I got nothing else to add for today. You got any homework for the peoples?
Ooh.
Got any homework to give? Any fancy things that you wanna tell them and have them do for you?
Yes. I have one good piece of homework and some extra credit.
Ooh, okay.
Okay. So my good piece of homework this week. And I've probably done this to y'all before, so this homework shouldn't be hard. Easy A, right? Easy A. If your schedule allows it, I want you to dedicate a half hour a day to practicing the coolest mechanic in your own eyes, the one you think is the coolest mechanic. And I want you to appear offline from Discord, Steam, whatever platform you're on, turn on your tunes. Tell your parents, hey, I'm going to play this game for a half hour. I need me time for a half hour, whatever it is. And just hard focus on that mechanic and genuinely try and improve at it. Because I promise you, you're going to see improvement. You will. And get back to me with any cool clips and shots you guys hit, even if it's, you know, in free play or training packs. I want to see them. I love seeing our community hitting awesome shots. We're all coming up. It's amazing. The extra credit, and this is totally biased and has nothing to do with Rocket League. Diablo 4 comes out in like a week, and if you're playing, I want to see screenshots of your characters. I want to see them cool things.
Yeah,
I want to know if y'all are playing. Let me know. I'm such a gamer nerd. It's awesome. I love video games. So But that's all I got, Webs.
All right. That's going to be it from the ASAP Weekly Rock Movie Podcast. He's been your host, Cursor.
That's me. Hello.
And I've been the guest, Webs. Thanks for watching.
Or listening.
Or listening. Bye.
Later.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.